Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Canalinguists. I am your host, Alex Mandelberg, and with me as always, the very lovely, the very awesome April O'Connor.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I just learned how to use my soundboard this week, so...
Stepping up the game now.
Stepping up the game. Now I can actually do an echo effect when I say people's names now.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. Far more excited than I probably should be.
I'm really excited. I'm excited about the running timer.
Yeah, that's our other big addition this week is we have a running timer in front of us, so we actually know at what point in the show we are.
Yes.
Yes. So because of this upgrade, that's why I'm drinking sparkling water this week while we do the show, because we are fancy. We have clocks. We got music. I got an echo effect on my soundboard that I finally know how to use after having it for 9 months.
Yes.
This is just moving up in the world.
Moving up.
How was your... How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. I was on the East Coast. It snowed. It certainly snowed. It wasn't the kind that stuck, you know, for days, but it was definitely... Oh, okay.
So it didn't. It wasn't sticky.
It was
snow.
There the next day for sure.
Oh, it was. Oh.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then that night, I didn't, snow brush the car because I didn't drive on Thanksgiving. I had a rental. And then it became kind of solid.
Yeah, that'll happen. I remember the first time because I didn't know when I used to live out in Woodland Hills. And out in Woodland Hills, if anyone doesn't know in Los Angeles, that's the part of the San Fernando Valley that if it's hot in the valley, it's hotter there. And if it's cold in the valley, it's colder there. So a couple times a year, you would actually wake up and there would be frost
your
window. No, the window of your car would actually have ice on it. And I remember going out there, and I'm like, I'm from the East Coast, so I'm like, oh, okay. I grabbed a CD out of the car, and I just started scraping it off. And I see everybody getting up to go to work in the morning, and all of them are getting in their car going, what am I supposed to do? Trying to put the windshield wipers on. I'm like, oh, that's making it worse. You don't know.
Yeah, it makes it
you
worse.
Don't know.
You just have to run the car for 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's it. Know? That's
like,
all it takes.
Everybody on the East Coast has this whole
They have the plastic ice scrapers on the East Coast.
Plastic ice scrapers and electronic car starters.
Oh, yeah.
You
don't even need it.
I'm trying to, my accent is a little thick. I'm like, car starters.
Yeah, it came back. Listen, I understand. You hang out back in Beantown for a little bit. That's going to, bound to come up.
I come back with lots of calories and... You know, it was a good trip. It's always good to see the fam and some old friends and what have you. I didn't really do that much, but
saw people. And the Thanksgiving itself was one of the quietest ones I ever had because my mom, who usually does big, huge Thanksgivings, it was just me, my mom, my sister, her husband, my nephew, and my girlfriend, and that was it. And
that seems chill, though.
My mom, because I had made a test turkey a few weeks ago because I love turkey, and I'd smoked it, and I brought some to my mom. And when I brought it to my mom, she just handed me her turkey. It was like, you're making the Thanksgiving turkey this year, which was a lot of pressure on my back. Mm-hmm. So I smoked the turkey, and we had a lovely, quiet turkey dinner. And then the next day, Friday, I had about 25 comedians over here, smoked two more turkeys.
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
And we had just a lovely Friendsgiving of fun. I've never experienced a dinner like that in my life. That grown-ass people.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't drunk, but we got a little saucy. We were passing joints around the dinner table. Everyone there is licensed. We're all grown adults. That was the funny thing that we're all like, we're adults here and we could all smoke a joint at the dinner table if we want to. It was so amazing. It was really so much fun.
I always like, you know, my mom always makes a really big deal out of Thanksgiving. And so for a few years, I was going to my cousin on my dad's side because they would just watch football, and I could smoke weed freely, and we'd eat, and then smoke weed and eat again, and just watch football. And like,
yeah, that's what Thanksgiving's all about. Yeah,
you know,
occasionally fall asleep.
One year I went, have a nap, get up, smoke another joint, eat some more. One year went to my mom's friend's house, and it was beautiful. I mean, picture perfect, like name tags and every, like, you know, with gold leaf writing.
Geez.
Like, I mean, the pen, just insane, beautiful. And it was literally like a minute left and the game was close and they shut the fucking football game off to eat dinner. And I was like, can you just put it on mute?
What are you doing? Don't turn the TV off.
I mean, I was a cheerleader.
The game is close.
My whole life.
What the hell is going on?
Football and Thanksgiving are like hand in hand for me. So if you shut off a fucking football game during
That's not okay. That's unacceptable action. I will flag the fucking play if you do that. That is not okay.
So
that was my favorite part about Thanksgiving was my mom actually had a pretty late Thanksgiving. So because I had to do because smoking a turkey takes a while.
Yeah.
And my mom had a really big one. Even though there were eight of us, my mom had a 28-pound turkey.
Oh, I'm like,
okay.
Okay.
So
turkey for a week.
I loaded this turkey. We went through one leg, half a wing, and half of a breast.
Yeah.
Just and took the rest home.
Oh, wow.
So I woke up at 8:30 in the morning. I started prepping the turkey. By the time I put it on the grill to start smoking, I turned the TV around on my back porch. I was watching the first football game. The problem was, unfortunately, none of the football games this year were any good. All the Turkey Day games were It was like half the winning teams didn't eat any turkey, and all the losing teams ate all the turkey. We're running all
and
slow.
I got
didn't
slaughtered in fantasy too. I was like,
No. I hate fantasy so much. I can't.
It's my first time playing.
I do a pick'em league. That was a strong P on that pick'em league. where you do every game against the spread. And the way that will work is when I did that and fantasy, all of a sudden I found myself rooting against a team that I had a player on that I needed him to do well, but his team, it became too much. I was hating watching football, which I love watching football so much. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so we do have some news to get into this week.
What else?
Although before we do get into this, I do want to keep this going because there've actually been a few people who've participated in this, and anybody listening, this is the fun participation game that you can be in. I'm trying to figure out which Twitter handle I should use. Since I did this week one and a few people have listened, I've gotten three new followers on @amandelberg, the one that I created that I've had forever, but I don't really do anything on Twitter and I need to start, and I'm admitting that. But my roommate was like, hey, I found a great Twitter handle. I got it for you. I'm like, I want my name. He's like, yeah, but I got you @afunnyjew.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. So follow me @amandelberg or @afunnyjew, and I'm going to see which one wins. And I'll just take over whichever Twitter one has more fans at the end of a while. I'm just going to hold them both. I know. Everyone likes that a funny Jew. And I just, is my name really that complicated? How did I get here? No.
You know, it's just the whole, it's just like the Bergstein.
Everyone gets confused if it's E-L or L-E, which it's E-L, M-A-N-D-E-L. Yeah, it's E-L.
Yeah.
I fucking spell my own name. Jeez, what's wrong with me?
Right,
let's get to the news before
I
lose
myself.
Yeah, I have
the same thing. O'Connor, E-R-O-R, whatever. Just
At April Foolin.
Exact moon.
I like it. So our first news story up was the federal hearing on probation, which it was a 3-day hearing, I believe, that took place.
It was in California.
It was in California. It was the California Supreme Court, not the federal Supreme Court, in case anyone was wondering. But the California Supreme Court heard the case over 3 days on whether to reclassify marijuana as a class one narcotic, which that is a federal precedent from the DEA, but cases like this usually do have to go through a state Supreme Court before the federal Supreme Court will hear it. And the problem with this case has always been the fact that not many judges want to hear it. And they finally found a judge who said, okay, I'll sit, I'll hear the arguments, give me both sides. And we don't have a ruling yet, but
we're expecting one by the end of the year, which
expecting
would be
one by the end of
but
the
it's
year.
A really big deal because, I mean, it was obviously compelling arguments that it has immense medicinal benefits, but the fact that the people on, you know, the government side, they really didn't have that good of arguments.
Even a few times admitting to the fact that they're like, well, yeah, no, we'll give you that it's medicine in this case scenario. Well, but if it's medicine there, then it's it's unfortunately the same argument that comes up with abortion all the time, where I'm like, you can't choose what you like and what you don't like about it. You're either for it or against it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're saying that part of it's medicine, then all of it's, you know, it's medicine.
Yeah. It's, of course. And, I mean, hey, what, Tommy Chong's putting it up his butt right now. He's got
cannabis
oil.
Cannabis oil.
Suppositories to treat his prostate cancer, along with anti-cancer herbs and an anti-cancer diet, which are all, you know, you have to.
I told you the story about the coach that I had to use the Rick Simpson honey oil, which did wonders, mm-hmm. wonders for him. So
it's all complimentary, you know, the more stuff that you put together. And it's just, it's a big deal for California to be, you know, and we're on the forefront of it, but it's just that we see the medicinal qualities. We've been around the longest.
I feel like we were one of the first states to do a medicinal program. Mm-hmm. Obviously not the first ones to legalize. A few other states have done that already, mm-hmm. but we certainly were on the front of the idea of using it as
it
is a medicinal side. And I certainly know that a lot of the dispensaries that I go to, especially perennial, for anybody who's, you know, wanting something that who goes, I don't want to get high, but I'm interested in what the medical benefits are. They're one of the few places that I know that always has AC/DC on hand, which
CBD.
They claim it's 28-1. I mean, you could smoke a jar of that. You're not going to get high, but you're certainly going to get all the medical benefits that could come out of.
It's you definitely have a, it's just not a head change, but there's a change. There's a significant change that you can feel, but it's more body. It doesn't mess with your head to the point where maybe you get paranoid, you can't think. You're still functioning, you know.
But you're still a human being.
The meds out there these days are really high in THC, and that's psychoactive.
That was the first thing that I noticed with some of the people who I've seen who've come around and now are getting their medical cards after being away from marijuana for so long is. Yeah, you know, they say that, like, it's changed so much since they've been gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we talked about it before. It used to just be green and brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, green was good, brown was not as good. But now, it's, you know, we talked about it the other week with Leafly versus Weed Maps, and the reason why I like Leafly so much is because I want a strain that does something very specific for what I want. Mm-hmm. I am a very hyperactive ADD person. I want something that's going to affect. I want that head change. I don't want anything else affected other than my head. I want that euphoric feeling. I want that feeling of the, you know, the gears slowing down a little bit.
Yep.
That's what I'm looking for.
The matrix slowdown.
Yes. So the fact that Leafly allowed me to search specific strains so that I could get exactly what I wanted and then pointed me to the dispensary where I could get it.
Yeah.
That's why I preferred that over Weed Maps.
Yeah. Weed Maps is kind of got a stronghold right now, but they're.
We're just going to start on this show from now on. I declare that anytime we refer to Weed Maps, we just call them Weed Yelp. That's it.
Weed Yelp.
We're just calling him Weed Yelp from now on.
That's hilarious.
With this federal case going on, though, when the ruling does come back, and it all seems to be that it will come back that this will probably
in favor, because the fact that the judge even heard it in the first place means that, you know, they were open minded enough.
Yes, and for all of you wondering, they're going, but what does this mean for the future of marijuana in the United States? It means not much for the immediate future. It means that there's a chance that this will be heard in the next 3 to 4 years by the Supreme Court by the federal Supreme Court. That's where the change can actually be affected. That's where we might actually see a federal reclassification and it no longer looked at as a class one narcotic federally.
I am just looking forward to universities to be able to actually do studies.
Yeah.
Legal studies. You know, a lot of our studies come from other countries because it's a Schedule I drug and we don't allow it.
No public funding for any research that involves cannabis because you're just not going to get public funding for that. No one stands behind it.
Which is the other cool thing.
Although there are weird ways that they get around that. Like Montana, I know Montana, they were growing weed for the state. And then Montana was like, yeah, but we're doing away. We're not going to have marijuana anymore. And everyone went, oh, my God. And I had a buddy whose dad was growing out there. And I asked him, like, what's your dad doing? He's like, he's just in the seed business now. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, no, now he just sells the government seeds. Marijuana is just a byproduct of the seeds. perfectly legal. So nothing changed. They just, for saving face, because people in Montana weren't big fans of weed, they were like, it's illegal. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
It's all in how you word it.
Yeah, it's all always in how you word
it.
And
how
so
you interpret it.
If you were in the seed business and you were selling seeds in Montana, if they were marijuana seeds, that was perfectly fine that you had 5 pounds of marijuana, because that's a byproduct of producing the seeds, which are perfectly legal.
Mm-hmm.
Makes no sense to me.
Definitely. Along the lines of the whole federal hearing, the Houston police chief just they aired the interview yesterday, 30-minute interview with him, saying that, you know, the drug war has failed and that prohibition has failed and that they're actually having pilot programs and even in Texas
welcome
and
to,
other
welcome
cities.
To the party, Texas, yeah. 15 years later. Jeez, Texas is so effing.
But it's a red state, so that's a big deal.
Excuse me, with the exception of you, Austin, big ups to you, Austin.
Yeah,
you're awesome.
Awesome.
You're like San Francisco and Texas. I love you. You guys are really cool. Except Houston is they got a lesbian, you know, Democrat mayor, but they're still kind of – the rest of them just – I mean, I had, I'm not going to say his name, but let's just say I had an acquaintance who was working for a political figure in Texas. He was a marijuana user. And what he had to go through in Texas to get anything just to, I mean, in his garage behind walls because he was afraid if anybody saw him, he was going to jail for 10 years.
Yeah. You hear about the kid? Remember the kid with the... He got caught with hash brownies.
Yeah,
and
he
they
got
were
caught with hash brownies. They were trying
him
to charge him for
the
weight
of the
brownie. So I'm like, yo, there's only like an eighth of weed in there, but there's like 10 pounds of brownies.
Yeah.
No.
No. That,
don't do that.
Yeah. Even like the, you know, the lawyer representing him was just like, what the
This is ridiculous.
It did end up getting thrown out. But
yeah.
That's actually a good segue to talking about edibles, I'd say. There was an article, so this week it was Ed Rosenthal, that about giving people a little schooling on edible dosages.
Ooh.
And avoid how to.
That's a very good thing, because I had a buddy.
How to avoid overdosing.
Yeah, I had a buddy who told me a story about putting an ounce in one tray of brownies because he didn't know how to make edibles.
Oh,
and they just put an ounce
God.
In there. And they had never made edibles before. And he said it was him and three friends, and they each had like one bite. Like they each had one little square, and they said it didn't really affect him in the first 20 minutes. I'm like, yeah, it wouldn't. He's like, well, I didn't know that then. Mm-hmm. So each of them ate their entire quarter of the brownie.
Yeah.
So they were high for 3 days.
Yeah. The first time I ever ate an edible, I was probably like 17 maybe. I was at a friend's house. They took some fucking Reggie, some shitty dirt. Weed, and I swear it was probably like an ounce, maybe like it was a bunch of weed, and they put it in one batch of brownies.
Oh no!
And like didn't like make butter, just like it was just the gritty whatever. And I ate two brownies, like so. I maybe that was like, you know, a sixth of a pan or whatever.
Ooh.
I'm thinking. So I ate that. I stayed the night. Then I was home the next day, and I was just out all day, like just and. My mom said, like, I went outside for a second, came back in. She's like, you're high. And I'm like, yeah, leave me alone, you know, kind of like, don't know.
My buddy said
she's
he
like,
had
what,
them.
What did you do? Like, she's like, you didn't smoke weed. And I was like, I'm just high from weed. Yes, I swear. She's like, no, you're high on something else. You haven't left the house all day. When did you smoke weed?
Like, no, I ate it. I ate too much. I didn't know.
I ate it 36 hours ago.
Oh, no. I mean, the story that I heard was basically he said that about halfway through he went to sleep the first night, woke up the second day as high as he was when he went to sleep the first night.
Yeah.
And he said when he went to sleep that night and woke up still high the next day, he said about halfway through that day was where he started making the justification in his brain where he's like, okay, so this is how I'm going to be forever. So I'm going to have to get used to this because this is how I'm always going to be this high for the rest of my life. And then he said, like, finally towards the end of that day, it started wearing off. He went to sleep. He woke up. He's like, okay. He was coming out of the clouds finally 3 days later.
Like they say when you take acid or something that you could
stay
like that.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. I've had family members tell me stories about you know, trying out acid, when they were like, yeah, no, you haven't done a real acid trip until you've been justifying in your brain where it's like, okay, I'm gonna have to learn how to deal with this because I'm gonna be like this forever. My brain's broken. I'm just gonna be high forever. Oh, it's my favorite time of our show.
Oh.
As we close in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's 420, ladies and gentlemen. Here, why don't you take the greens? No, no, I insist you brought it. What are we smoking today? Actually, you know what? I'll hit it. You tell us about it. What are we smoking today?
It was, I think it's some sort of OG.
Oh, some sort of OG? Let's see. Oh, here.
It smells like kind of Bubba-ish as well. But I don't know, because I had like a little container that just had a bunch of bags of weed in it. And I was like, this smells good. Ooh. So I don't know what it is, to be honest. It's something cushy.
Give it over here to the weed connoisseur. I'm gonna
something cushy.
Let me swirl it around in my glass and give it an old, give it the old sniff and whatnot. Hold on a second here.
I feel like it could have been like a parting gift something, some work that I might have done or something. I don't know.
I'm gonna call this a hybrid. I'm gonna say this is a hybrid. I'm gonna say that this is probably like I'm gonna guess at like a 60-40 indica. I guess one's a little bit more heavy indica.
It's definitely got more indica to it.
That's what I'm thinking.
I had some for breakfast.
Oh. Ooh, a little.
No, not today, actually. Yesterday.
I was
going
to say a little dessert for breakfast.
Yesterday.
Huh? Hey, listen.
Yesterday I had a little. Not today. I didn't smoke today because I had the voiceover class.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't like to smoke too much before.
You see, I understand that. Like I said, being as hyperactive as I am, I can't be on a quiet sound stage. So I'll jump through the walls.
Right.
It's torture for me.
Oh,
I can't do it.
Totally. On a sound stage, I get it. But
when you're trying to learn?
Learning and reading copy and just, it's more about, I like to be.
I'm really resisting the whole higher learning joke. I want you to know that I resisted that.
But you know what? I like going to school. I like smoking before I go to school, but it's more about I get in a smaller learning situation or when I went home to Boston, I didn't smoke that much because with my mom a lot. And she knows what I do. She knows like that I smoke and that I'm a big advocate for it. But it's
so
more just about being on the same level as the person I'm talking
to. I've been meaning
to
ask you this because I was considering it as one of our guests, not anytime soon, like in a couple months, let's say, when the show is, you know, got some more legs under it. I have never talked to my parents about weed, ever.
Oh, really?
I mean, and I get my mom weed cream for her back.
Yes, you do.
And that being said, like, she doesn't really talk to me about it. And, like, I've never had that real conversation where it's like, you guys know I smoke all the time. Like, you haven't seen me sober in a decade. Do you know that? And I was wondering, what would you think if we had them on the show? I'd have the conversation right here on
that'd be amazing.
On the microphone.
My mom sat in when she came to visit at Skid Row Studios on one of the burger podcasts I did.
Oh, really?
She just tapped. I mean, her and my friend Jen they came to visit and they were with me. And I was like, hey, I got to go do this real quick. You know, we were downtown at Art Walk. And I was like, you can sit out here. You can sit in here with us. And there was something that was like my favorite moment was like I was talking about something not weed related. We were talking about he has a lot of like conspiracy theories and stuff. And I think
who? Burger?
Yeah.
No.
Ooh, no.
Come on.
Yeah. No, I mean.
Go on.
I know. He was talking about, you know, people fucking, not for spots, but like talking about like producers and things like that and how, you know, supposedly this one.
We're talking about comedy, comedians boning.
Not even further than comedians. Like,
just people in general.
How, like, producers, like, sometimes
fucking your way up the ladder.
Fuck young boys and things like that. We talk about that. And we talk about how a particular comic, she didn't fuck. She fucked a dude instead. And it was just really funny. I was like, hey, if I'm gonna fuck for a spot, I'd rather be the one doing the fucking. You know? I'd rather be the one on top. And I said, I just totally forgot my mom was in the room when I was deep into this conversation. And I looked over and she was smirking, like in a good way. Like she thought it was funny. Like, you know, like my baby's not going to let anybody fuck her. That's
good. Oh, that's good.
And I was like, oh, I love it. She's a good sport.
Go, Ma. Hey, Ma.
And we did, like, that was the one thing Burger said to her was, hey, you know, we smoke in here. So if you want to hang in here, you got to, you know. And she was just like, all right. And she just sat in there. She didn't really talk in the conversation, but she sat in the room with the mic at, like.
She was at a mic?
Well, she sat a little bit off camera because that's an audio video.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right.
But she had the headphones on and she was listening in and she did answer a question or two.
Holy crap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think you could get your parents in here.
I know they would come to do it.
One at a time?
Oh, no. I'd just do it whole hog.
Oh, yeah?
I'd just do the whole hog. Mm-hmm. Go for it. Just go for it. Because there are questions, I mean, that I'm a little bit. Here's the thing. There are things about it that would be better to do separate. Because I know marijuana at least played a small part in the separation of my parents. I do know that.
Oh.
But I don't know. I don't, like I said, I was just chewing over the idea. I was talking about it with some friends because everyone who I talk to has had that weed conversation with their parents, and I haven't. And I know my dad still smokes.
I think that'd be amazing to have live experience.
I wondered. Anyone listening, if you're curious, if you think this would be cool, let us know. I am curious if this is something that people would think is cool.
I am the referee. I'll be there.
Yeah, you know, you would be. I would put you in a zebra shirt.
The mediator.
Yep, I'd give you a whistle, a yellow flag. I would expect you to be very, very. Very vigilant. I want people to say that you over officiated the game. That's what I want. I want people to be like, listen, you don't want to feel the reffing in the game. No, I want to feel the referee in this situation. Yeah. I want to know that someone is running this game. I do not want this game getting out of control.
That's
but it would be an interesting conversation because I don't think my parents understand the width of it. I think they know I smoke.
Uh-huh.
They certainly do. And I think that they're even okay with it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they know the scope of it. I certainly don't think that they would know that I would be doing a show where I'm advocating it or that I would be going to a hemp con to do comedy there. I don't think they would know any of that stuff.
Well, if they're not like big into social media and things like that. And
no, I don't. My mom doesn't even have a Facebook page. My dad has one, but he's never on it.
My mom uses Facebook to stalk me.
My dad likes one photo of mine every year. That's it. Only one. Because I think that's the one time he logs on. Because I think he has like 9 friends.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because my dad will always like something of mine like 9 months after I posted it. Because it's still in his newsfeed because he only has like 8 friends on Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah.
I shouldn't say my dad only. My dad has plenty of friends.
Plenty of friends.
On Facebook, probably like 3 or 4.
I think that would be awesome. I think, and then. Yeah, if anybody has any questions that they want to tweet to us for when we do finally have them in, that'd be pretty awesome.
It'd be exciting. I think it's going to be a little bit of a ways out. I want to get some legs under this first, but it sounded like an interesting conversation. But anyways, we're moving on. What do we have next? We have breathalyzer.
There was something that I saw. I don't know how, like that. They were talking about having maybe a breathalyzer that's going to be able to, you know, tell if it's active THC versus.
They've been talking about that for, you know.
I mean, it could just be like.
I'm really curious.
Smoke up the ass, pun intended.
What I'm really curious about is I really would love a comprehensive test done of. Driving under the influence of marijuana and what its effects are. I really am curious.
Yeah.
Because I'm not saying that it's okay to do, but I'm saying that.
Like the super high me of driving.
But I mean.
Like what?
When I am medicated, I've never in my life felt like I was inebriated.
Yeah.
I've never felt like I did not have my wits about me, like I didn't have.
Yeah. The worst thing you do is like miss your exit because you're like. You're like too paranoid. You're watching the road too much that you weren't looking at the exits.
I've never felt impaired though. Mm-hmm. I've never felt any of that stuff. So I could be completely wrong here. I'm not saying that I'm right, but I'm curious what the majority would say as far as what driving under the influence of alcohol versus driving under the influence of marijuana. What?
Right. Well, because that the thing is like alcohol is alcohol. It's strictly recreational, and there's a point where you become too intoxicated. There's like, for instance,
you could be on an opiate medication at, for your pain and be on a really high dose, but it's not affecting you at all because it's serving its purpose, you know? So how are you going to be able to determine the difference? Because it has multiple uses. It's like it's teetering on the side of, you know, right now it's mostly medicinal in all the states. Yeah. We have a few recreational.
We certainly have much more, many more states that are willing to make medicinal laws, not as many recreational. Although now recreational seems to be the new fad.
But see how it, but it fucks with our rights. Like we beg for these rights, and then they're going to take our rights away at the same time because we're.
My cat outside the door. Yeah. Well, hey,
do you know what I mean? Like, they're. How are you going to tell how much is too much for someone?
Yeah, no, that is always the. I mean, listen, they did the same thing. They set a benchmark with alcohol. I'm sure they would try and do the same thing with marijuana, and they would say, you know, what is too inebriated? But, you know, I really feel like I feel like this is always something that we hear from the police department because they want us to think that they're still they want us to think that they're still looking at us when
they want to be able to get money from us. They want to be able to give tickets out.
On the same page though,
but not
I can't
but still be constitutional.
The last time I drove I did a show down in San Diego. I was coming back to LA, and for anyone who hasn't made that drive, about 30-40 minutes north of San Diego is a border stop, agriculture stop, where they're checking to make sure you haven't brought any fruits, but they're also, you know, looking to make sure everything's legal. They're border patrol cops, and they have dogs there sniffing, and, you know, they wave you by one at a time. And every single time I've gone by there, I haven't gotten pulled over, and every single time I have weed on me, except for one time I get pulled over. And they asked me to pull in. They asked me to pop my trunk. I'm like, yeah, I got a bunch of golf clubs back there. I was driving back from a comedy show. And I was really nervous. I was like, oh, shit, here comes the dog. And the dog's sniffing. And I'm like, listen, I'm just going to play this off. And it's legal for me to have on me. I have my script on me.
You're in California.
I'm in California. I haven't crossed any borders. Everything about it. It was even in the bottle from the from the dispensary.
But we're all scared of cops, you
know? But we're all scared of cops. And then the dog came over, and I'm like, oh, fuck, it's the dog. The dog sniffs everything. And the dog sniffs the car, and it's fine.
Yeah.
And I have this moment where I'm like, should I just grab my balls and ask him? And I just ask, I was like, I'm just curious, what's the dog sniffing for? Is it bombs or what? And he goes, Schedule 1 narcotics.
Yeah, was like, cocaine.
So I said, cocaine, heroin, marijuana. And he said, not marijuana. And I was like, what do you mean not marijuana? Isn't that a class 1? He's like, too much headache. We don't have the dog sniff for it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, really? And I get that. Listen, for a drug sniffing dog.
That dog would be getting treats all day.
That dog would be getting, dog's
fat.
Barking at every car that goes by. Ruff, ruff, ruff. Not rough, rough, rough. Like he's going crazy on the fucking side of the road there. Yeah. So apparently that dog that sniffs there, don't give a fuck about weed.
I don't think
because
it's not worth
the trouble. And I really think that that's what this whole breathalyzer thing is. I think that it's a scare tactic to be like, hey, listen, no guy is going to drive past that border stop with 5 bricks of marijuana on him because you don't want cops seeing you with that much. Like that's
rod
that's
nerdy.
Natural. That's riding. That's riding dirty.
Riding dirty.
But on the same page, that's why the dog is there to dissuade you from doing that. But is the dog looking for that? No, it's not. The same thing with the breathalyzer. I feel like they'll say, yeah, we're coming up with this idea for a breathalyzer that'll test you for weed too. And pot smokers will go, well, I'm going to be very careful. I'm not going to smoke weed and drive. And and at the end of the day, they go, cool, that's all we wanted.
Yeah.
That's all we wanted was for you to do that.
But the breathalyzer would be better than what they're doing now, which is either a cheek swab or a piss test or a urine test. So, I mean, urine test is the same thing. I meant a blood test or a fucking blah. Anyways, because first of all, they have to cuff you. They have to take you to piss or take your blood.
you know. And then if they're taking a swab, I mean, it's just, it's invading on your constitutional rights.
Yeah, everything about it is not okay. Yeah.
But yeah. That's,
I like this OG that you brought. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. I think I like it a lot.
I'm a fan.
It's and then also the other thing is like,
and I haven't coughed that much, which is pretty fucking awesome.
TSA, like, I don't think that they're really trained to, like, you know, they. And I had a friend try to get through LAX, and
they
called the LAPD, and the LAPD is like, well, do you have your rec? And this is not me. This is someone else. So me, I just, you know, I'm going to the East Coast. I might, you know, have a little stash with me. I got a little paranoid sometimes, but I even had this time I checked my luggage and said to the guy, have a nice trip, even though I'm the one getting on the plane because I was that ripped when I got to the airport. And I was like, hey, have a nice trip. Oh, I'm so dumb. They're definitely going to look at my bag. And I had a slip from the TSA in my bag, and I had, but I checked a little bit of,
you know what?
I wasn't smuggling. It was my medicine. I brought it with me. It's like,
I'm bringing up an article that
do it.
You can see it up on the screen right now. Is it legal to fly with marijuana? The TSA has basically, as it said, the security officers do not search for marijuana. If they find it, they will report it to local authorities.
Yep.
But if it is legal for you to have on you in that city, in that state at that time, it doesn't matter. So they are pretty openly saying, like, yo, three monkeys here. See no evil, hear no evil, do no evil. Like, don't be an asshole. Don't stuff three bricks of marijuana. Mm-hmm. Everything to me has come back to bricks of marijuana. Don't shove, you know, 5 pounds of marijuana into a duffel bag and try and check that through TSA.
Okay.
They're going to confiscate that. They're going to give that to local authorities. And you might get that back if it's legal for you to have.
Yeah.
But they're not going to let that you take that with you. But if you are bringing enough for obvious personal use in your bag, they're
like,
not looking for that.
Yeah. Oh, no.
They have no interest whatsoever.
Yeah, they're not even trained to look for that. Here's the other thing, though.
They'll pick it up, see it, and go, oh, okay.
I have a friend, dear friend, and her mom got diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, dear.
And
what kind, if you don't mind?
Pancreatic.
Oh, jeez.
Super, yeah. But, that's, you know, she's super open-minded, and she's already, like, on a, you know, anti-cancer diet and things, having supplements, and we're going to get her on some oil, some medicinal oil, like I mentioned earlier, that Tommy Chong puts in suppositories into his anus. So
you just love the idea of Tommy Chong being like, they wouldn't let him sell anything that you could smoke, so he's like, fine, I'll shove it up my ass, man. Whatever, man.
That's so awesome. Anyways, we're gonna make her some RSO, which is, you know, an edible oil. I mean, sometimes it can be smokable, but something that's more ethanol extraction versus butane or some sort of solvent that is gnarly. So we're going to...
We had the conversation last week. I'm not a wax fan because of exactly that reason.
But California, you can't get Everclear over 75.5%.
No, you can't.
I mean, you can't buy it here.
No,
it doesn't mean you can't have it.
Well.
It just, you can't buy it here.
My girlfriend's family is from Arkansas, you know.
Yeah. Well, I just went through this whole...
She's been killing me. I'm going to get myself arrested because I'll even admit to this. I'm like, I've been wanting to build a still for so long and make my own make my own moonshine. I'm just saying, it would be so much fun to make my own moonshine.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess, yeah, there's a lot of that. I won't go down that road either. But there's 14 states, California included, that you can't get 95%. Ethanol alcohol, like Everclear. So, I mean, the higher the alcohol content to do the extraction, the better. So that is like, okay, I'm trying to get my hands on it. I can buy it at a liquor store in Massachusetts. I'm like, but I can't fly it. I can't fly with it, and I can't ship it because it's fucking flammable. It's like having napalm in my bag.
Yeah.
You know? And so I could check it in my bag, but if they caught me with it.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
I was like, do I fly with it? Do I risk flying with it anyways? Because fuck it. You know, it wasn't like I was like, it was like two bottles. It wasn't like I took like
you know, a case
not,
even.
Not that I, not, I mean, speaking purely hypothetically, but you could have always just put it in another bottle.
Well,
no, I'm not saying that, you know, you having three Evian bottles in your carry-on maybe wouldn't, you know, like, hey, I like to travel with my Evian water.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean.
That smells like pure alcohol.
But it's the same thing. I was like doing all this different stuff. It's like USPS, you can't
ship, you can't do that.
Ship alcohol. FedEx and UPS, they might not necessarily care, but it's like flammable. So do I do, you know, I did what I had to do is what I
You
what
do what
I'm
you
saying.
Had to do?
I did what I had to do.
All right.
But
okay.
But I won't divulge any more information. But I didn't fly with it because I think that the risk of like the plane exploding is.
But I handle my business, you know what I'm saying?
I handle my biz.
April O'Connor handle hers. You know what I'm saying? I handle mine.
I think we should keep talking about Tommy Chong's bunghole.
Oh gosh, Tommy.
No, that's
you know it. I'm sorry he was bounced off Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. Let's be honest. Alfonso Ribeiro he already won that when he did the Carlton dance. I'm like, oh, you already won this season. It's over now. If you're just gonna get up there, they're gonna play It's Not Unusual and you're gonna Carlton dance, this shit's over. This shit's not even fucking fair.
I know.
To anyone who hasn't seen it, YouTube Alfonso Ribeiro Dancing with the Stars doing the Carlton dance. The crowd went fucking crazy, as they should. Absolutely. I don't fault them. That's not their fault. That was, of course they went crazy. He just did the Carlton dance. It's Not Unusual. God. Can't take that shit. How do you expect these fucking people to react? So, yeah, they went crazy. And, yeah, Tommy Chong got bounced off the other night, and I felt bad for him. But, yeah. You know.
But he was within restrictions, and he can't promote his new line.
Yeah,
can't he's promote not, his while new he was line. On the show, he's not allowed to talk about weed, or he's not even allowed to do his little, like, marijuana kiss when you hold your hands up your fingers and do that. Yeah. He couldn't do anything, and he's got some new clothing swipes coming out.
I heard about that.
I like that because it's something that he could. It's a novelty that can be sold worldwide because it's not cannabis containing, but it's
and it has Tommy Chong's name and face on it, which is great. But yeah, no, it's a swipe that you can use on your clothes and your pants to make the smell of cannabis disappear,
mm-hmm.
which.
His wife would tell him that you reek.
It's probably a wet nap sprayed down with Febreze. Let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, that's what it really probably is.
But it's something that is. It's not a pipe or a bong, which has got him in trouble in the past
a few times.
Well,
few times.
His son, but it was his face on it.
Yeah.
And but now it's something that is still a niche in the market, but it's not.
Listen, I'm happy that he's able to stick around, that he still has that purpose, that he's able to do that because, I mean, I love the guy. He's awesome. He's been a great advocate. Does a lot for the cause, man.
Listen, man.
I'm just that's more the dude. I don't know what I'm doing there. That's a bad.
No, that was good.
I do a bad Tommy Chong. It's a bad Tommy Chong.
I think it was good. Oh, this is a good thing to get into. Because there's recreational, there's states that want to do, you know, whole experiences, bed and breakfasts, you know, cooking experiences. And
including, but we're talking about states that have legalized
cannabis,
recreational cannabis.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I've thought about. I know other people that have, tons of people thought about it, like food tasting, cannabis tasting, connoisseur experiences.
Pairing cannabis with food for like a dining experience, mm-hmm. or pairing it with wine for wine tasting, stuff like that. And apparently Colorado does not want to allow on-site consumption.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Well, it's the same thing about where they still haven't established how much is too much for somebody, you know, because everybody's different. And
what's the idea that, a bar is supposed to cut you off if they feel like they would be over serving you.
Right. And
that's why they always
trained.
Say the key word is as long as you don't. But this is the thing. I've always felt like it's a joke because as long as you don't say out loud, I'm drunk. I've really rarely ever seen a bartender stop serving someone who I thought that person doesn't need anymore.
Right.
So, you know, it's I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm not saying they're all good. I'm saying that there are some good and some bad.
Yeah.
But that's that whole thing where I go, you know, once again, what we talked about earlier, where do we know? I don't think we know how much it impairs the driving ability and the cognitive skills and the motor functions and all that stuff, because we haven't done any testing on it because of the classification of it.
Right.
So with all that being the case, I understand why Colorado doesn't want to allow on-site consumption, because it's a fucking headache.
Well, yeah, and they don't want it to end up like Amsterdam with coffee shops and people going and just smoking and the whole city becomes this big cloud of smoke, pretty much.
Well, but, you know, I mean, Amsterdam also has a wing of prostitution, let's not forget about. Yeah. Besides, it's not all smoking and coffee shops. It's also terrible human slavery. You know, let's not also forget the depressing human slavery.
Oh, bringing it down a couple of notches. Well, I think that Colorado, I mean, it's everywhere. Until they figure out how they can test how much is too much, then, yeah, a bed and breakfast or a weekend getaway should be totally fine, because you're not driving. You're
a bed and breakfast, I understand.
It's like an all-inclusive, you know.
A restaurant, I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm on the side of it being allowed, but I understand why people don't want to have a weed bar the way you have an alcohol bar, because you haven't yet set up any. I mean, like I said, they're trying to develop a breathalyzer that, like I said, I'm convinced will never work and never function properly and never actually make it to the market. And if they can't test to know, if they don't know how inebriated is too inebriated, and that there's so many things in that, I understand why people are like, I don't want to deal with the red tape.
And
I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying I understand why.
It's because a lot of them want to do cooking stuff, too, and edibles. I mean, back to, like, edible dosages we were talking about briefly, was that they still haven't figured out what dose is an average dose. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like, average dose is 15. Some people it's 10. Some people it's 500. You know, if you're taking it all the time and it's treating something for you, that's what an adequate dose is for you. It's not going to impair your driving.
Yeah.
But it's still going to be higher in your system. So, and then if you're eating it, it's delayed onset. So you could have dinner, feel fine, and then 30 minutes down the road, you're driving and you're nodding off. Like, I've definitely been over-medicated on edibles.
Yeah, no, that edibles, I mean, it is definitely easier times to where do I've that been, to like, yourself.
I remember one time I was, like, cookies, my friend made cookies, and I was putting them into bags, and there was some broken ones. And I just kept eating the pieces, the broken pieces.
Oh, no.
And I didn't realize, you know, after I thought, like, you know, I was like, that's the problem with, like, broken, I like sweets, and they put,
broken,
like,
cookie pieces are like deviled eggs, where it's like they're so delicious, and they're just so little that you'll just pop a bunch in your mouth, and then you're like, oh, my God, I just ate 8 whole eggs. and some mayonnaise. What the fuck is wrong with me?
That's perfect.
So with you, yeah. I know. You're just going like, oh, it's a little quarter, it's a little quarter, it's a little quarter. I just ate 5 weed cookies.
Yeah. Exactly. And then I literally was at a gas. I pulled over at a gas station and called my roommate at the time and was like, please ride your bike here. Please come drive me home.
Oh, no.
Like, please. I just, no.
Can't do this.
I can't even get home.
This ain't working.
I can't. You have to, like, at least you have, I think, the difference between, you know, if you're drunk or something, at least you have, like, the, I know that I'm too fucked up to drive, because you're overly paranoid typically on edibles, too, because the high THC content.
Yeah, it'll get you.
It'll get you, really. You hear the sirens and everything. You're like, nope, no sirens. And then they put the damn sirens in the hip-hop, and you're like, what the fuck? There it goes again.
So with our, we only got a couple minutes left here. What you got going on in the near future, right?
I'm going to go to Boston again.
Oh, you are? When?
Next Sunday.
For how long?
Like, till the day after Christmas, I think.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I will definitely be freezing my tatas off. And I'm going to be doing a show at the House of Blues in the Foundation Room on December 14th. December 16th. That's Tuesday, December 16th.
F&A.
Yeah, yeah.
Big
and
deal.
Foundation Room on Lansdowne Street in Boston.
Well, shit. Yes, dust your fucking shoulders off there.
Yes, big yes. Chris Penny's headlining.
Playa. What's going on?
Yeah, yeah. And I might be having the Laugh Boston experience as well, but I haven't confirmed it yet.
Yeah, haven't put it on the official calendar.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I know I'm going to Vegas on I think the 15th, 16th of December. I'll be doing a couple shows out there. I'm not 100% sure where. I think maybe Riviera, maybe Sapphire. I think maybe Improv. We'll see. I don't know. But I do also have a PUI this weekend.
Oh, is that Friday?
It's the 12th.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like Friday.
That is a Friday.
Yeah.
That's a Friday.
The 14th is when I'm leaving.
Well, then you should come on out. PUI, for those who don't know, a performing under the influence. We do it at the Hollywood Hotel once a month. Comedians will get up. They'll do about 5 to 7 minutes stone sober. And then they have about an hour and a half while everyone else is getting up to get as inebriated on whatever substance they choose to get inebriated on.
Yep, I've done that show twice.
Yeah, I've done it. Well, now I run that show. So,
yeah. The first time I did it was I was only smoking. I wasn't drinking, which was still a fun experience.
Yeah.
But the second time I did it, I had quite a few experiences that...
I'm not a huge alcohol fan, but what I do like about that show is there's a lot of comedians because we always have great comedians on the show, but we always try and also book some guys that were like, you know, he's wanted to do the show for a while. He's been asking us, and he's always at the open mics, and let's give him a shot.
Yeah, of course.
And there's one guy in particular, I'm not going to put him on blast, but I'm just going to say there's a comedian who's been in a lot of open mics. He's a grinder.
Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely a grinder, but hasn't been someone who's really made me laugh a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I'm gonna describe it as violently attacked a bottle of 1800 tequila.
Oh,
just
yeah?
Violently went at like this bottle of tequila called his mom a whore.
Oh my God!
And he was like, "Fuck you! I'm gonna fucking kill you." And he got off stage after his first set, which was, you know, his normal set. He was trying some stuff out. And he just, it was the bottle that fucking Michael Imperioli does that fills its own top. What does your fucking bottle of tequila do? Hey, oh,
yeah.
That fucking one.
I like 1800.
And he's just fucking going at it and going
and
at it.
And did he pass out or fight somebody?
No, he didn't.
Did he crush?
When he got up for that second set, he just, well... The first thing he did was he grabbed the microphone stand, and I think he was trying to just place it off to the side, but he instead just planted it down on the stage like he was sticking a flag in a foreign country, just thunk. And he fell off the front of the stage twice, the back of the stage once, and for 10 minutes fucking crushed. Just the funniest shit I'd ever seen him do. Ever.
You should film it.
We've been talking about that. You know, a lot of people would love that. There are some people who are a little bit like, oh, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can.
I think we'll give people the choice.
I'd say film it, and if they don't want it, you just cut their shit out.
Yeah,
you know?
I think that's definitely a choice in it.
Because it's like you can let them know, hey, we're filming the show. Don't want us to do anything,
Robert Murray makes me laugh, but still the hardest that I've ever laughed at Robert Murray, who, for those of you who don't know, he's comedy stepdad in Los Angeles. He's a very kinder, older black gentleman who's at every single mic and every single show and always laughs and always supports everyone. And he's also pretty damn funny himself. But he got... He was shit-faced.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point he was rolling on the ground, pounding the floor, laughing, pointing at Jeff May. He was trying to say, I'm going to fuck your mother.
Oh my God.
But he couldn't get it out because of how hard he was laughing at something else. And great things happen at the show. If you ever have a chance to swing by, it's a party. It's a great party. And you'll see some comedians confess some shit.
Did you hear about the whipped cream experience?
No.
Okay. Do you know they have alcoholic whipped cream?
Yes.
They have alcoholic whipped cream, and Preston and Megan brought it.
I heard stories about this, but I didn't know what happened. What happened? What happened?
Oh, I was making people, Michael James Benson in particular, get down on their knees, and I was feeding it to them.
Oh, no.
In a phallic manner.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Pictures were taken. And
that definitely sounds like something Benson would be doing. That's
I was like, here, you want some of this? I was like, you got to get on your knees. And I go,
oh, geez.
And then I took a whip hit on stage during my second set. I was like, yeah, well, this thing's gone.
The first time I did that show, I ended my sober set by doing two shots of Jaeger.
Yeah.
And then I opened
Jaeger.
And then I opened my second set by doing four shots of Jaeger.
Oh my God.
So I was pretty lit up. But yeah, that's
sounds about right.
That's the story. That's what we got going on. I got PUI. You're going to be off in Boston. I'm going to miss you while you're gone, but have fun while you're out there.
Yeah.
I've been Alex Mandelberg, as always, with me, the lovely April O'Connor, and we've been the Cannalinguists.
Thank you, Crab Diving Network. I think that...